Let's call the meeting in order and let the record reflect that it's noon on Thursday, February 19th. Welcome to the House Special Committee on Economic Development, Tourism, and Arctic Policy. Joining us here is Representative Stutz, Representative Wohl, and Representative Ortiz, and myself, Bob Heron. Please turn off your cell phones or at least silence them. First business of order, the time has been changed. Usually we start at 11:30, but because it's noon hour, lunch has been provided by Sampson Tug and Barge, and Shirley, could you extend our gratitude to them? And then my colleague from Kodiak said this is a first-class lunch.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. So our one business item today is to have essentially a meet and greet with the commissioner designee, Chris Laddick, and you all have read Mr. Laddick's resume. You also have a copy of the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission's implementation plan, as Chris Laddick was the commissioner representing maritime and other important items within that policy, and he was clearly brought the Bering Sea and the Aleutians to the forefront during our commission meeting hearings. So at this time, Chris, if you could come forward, and please note for the record that is the Deputy Commissioner Fred Ferrady is here as well, and so I would call it that you guys could have your own NBA team, right?
There was a time that could have happened, but I can't jump like I used to.
So I would assume you're the tallest commissioner, the designee that the governor's picked?
That's possible.
Okay. So again, Chris, this is more of a meet and greet because you're not on the job yet. Our actual signing of a confirmation report will come after you've been on the job a few days officially. It's probably more appropriate not to send out a confirmation report until you're on the job. But I'll start out with that if you could please describe your life, and then I'll have a follow-up question.
Thank you, Representative Heron, committee members, for asking me to join you today. I've been a city manager in the state for 25 years, born and raised in Illinois, got a degree in environmental biology at Eastern Illinois University, worked on the Norfolk and Western Railroad, built houses, worked on the barges on the Mississippi River. After I graduated, decided to move west to Colorado, and built houses there, and as well worked on the oil rigs in Wyoming to help pay off my school loans. Got very interested in geology, went back to school for geology and engineering while I was working full-time, and with the idea I was going to go to the Colorado School of Mines for a master's degree. Life changed. My wife, who is a physician's assistant, has been an emergency room nurse, paramedic, got a job offer in Galena, stayed at a apartment where the then city manager was across the hall, sent my resume the next day, got a job offer that day as the public works director. She got a job offer as a physician assistant. We were coming to Alaska for a year. Been here ever since. Galena, I was the sixth city manager on a powerhouse project to provide a 99.99% reliability factor for electrical power to the Galena Air Force Station. I was the public works director. Within 6 months, I was also the city manager. Within another 6 months, I was also the public works director, city manager, and electric utility supervisor, and had $1 million worth of mechanical failures. The contract was a mess. I had never read a contract in my life. I'd never talked to an attorney in my life, and I'd never been in municipal management. So it was baptism by fire. And basically on every count that the Air Force told me I was wrong, I eventually won on, which is rewriting that contract, got the powerhouse back online through the $1 million worth of failures. At one point, we had five 1 megawatt Mitsubishi units, we closed the door on a brand new $6.5 million powerhouse because all the units had failed. So that was baptism by fire. It was a great opportunity for me, obviously. I have a lot of good friends in Galena and had some amazing experiences there, like hunting, fishing, out in the woods, snow machining, incredible community that way. And, of course, we went through a couple of floods. Mm-hmm. I moved to Dillingham in the summer of 94, and both that power the powerhouse contract was taking the community under, so they were almost bankrupt. When I went to Dillingham, they were in near bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot about how to go about trimming budgets and things like that. I've had to do it. It wasn't by choice. This is what we have to do. So I've been through that. I've been through reorganization. I have a breadth of experience in projects, all various types of projects, as you can see from my resume. And then I stayed in Dillingham until 2001, went to Unalaska, and have been there ever since. And I have experience with fisheries, fisheries knowledge that I bring to the table, project management knowledge that I bring to the table, union contract negotiations, so a very wide breadth of experience.
Representative Stutz, you have a question?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. You said in Galena it was 99% liability. Is that what
no,
I heard
no.
you say?
The contract had a 99.99% reliability factor.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear the RE, and I wonder what that is.
For every hour we were offline, it was $1,500 fine. We were off 251.16 hours in the first year of operation.
Wow.
I'll never forget that from
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So, Chris, of course, you get the call from the governor. You were vetted, and you're going to take on a large responsibility from your deputy on down through all employees. Why did you make that choice to leave a wonderful community like Unalaska and leave Shirley in the lurch?
It's a momentary lapse of sanity. That's a good question, and then when the governor called, I told him, I said, I'm not looking for a job. This is the best job I've ever had, and it is. It is a really good place to raise a family, and I just decided that I was going to give this a whirl.
So what did Wendy think, your wife?
I think she's excited for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's going to stay the rest of the year. She's a school nurse, and she's going to finish out the year at the school before she moves down.
Hmm. So, Chris, obviously we're all thinking the same thing. What is going to be your biggest challenge? Besides the budget.
Just one? Or?
Well, if there's a laundry list.
Yeah, I think the budget is going to be the number one thing. You know, there's always the day-to-day issues that come up, but I think getting through the session and then begin the process of getting ready for the next session. You know, I haven't been on the job, but I've gotten quite a bit of briefings from my staff. And the first step is do an assessment of everything that's going on, what's happening, what's working, what doesn't work. Are we, you know, what are our core services, those types of things in all the divisions, and try to prepare for next year.
So, Representative Tilton, note for the record that Representative Tilton has joined us at 12:05, and Representative Tilton, the lunch is provided by Sampson Tug and Barge.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. Mr. Ladek, I was just, and it's along the same lines as what the chairman just asked you. Do you have any kind of a big picture goal for the department? I know that we're working on the immediate and the immediate is definitely our fiscal situation, and maybe a little bit on how you can, what maybe you see, and I know you don't have a whole lot of time, but what do you see for that, kind of helping with that physical picture, and then maybe sort of a big picture goal for the department overall?
Well, I think you have to balance the, you have to chart a course. You know, what's the plan forward? And if it's going to be 25% cuts over the next 4 years or whatever it's going to be, then you have to go through a evaluation of services and what are the services you're going to provide and which ones you might not. I can't give you any kind of idea yet because I haven't been there, but I am familiar with some of the services that are being provided. I've been the recipient of those services for 25 years. I've worked with DCRA, worked with the ABC board from the service end of the spectrum. So I need to get into the department and really look and listen and talk to the people who are working here now and get their ideas and chart a course and stay with it.
So to follow up that, Chris, is that, you know, like you say, you've been working with this agency for 25 years. In obviously, you probably have an idea how you can improve delivery of services to communities of your size, both larger and smaller communities in Alaska. Could you give us a couple of examples where you thought improvement was needed?
One thing that's been talked about, I know, is sort of the combination or centralization of services like financing. There's so many different financing places you can go, so that might be an area to really look at and focus on. I know that from the recipient perspective, some of the grant requirements are amazing for the size of the grant. I don't know, you know, a lot of that is chiseled in stone, but I think it's worth looking at. And I know that there are, you know, there's some of the departments that, like for the licensing, et cetera, where maybe there's some things we can do to better deliver. I hear I've heard a lot from doctors and dentists, et cetera, about things, but haven't got been on the inside to talk to folks about why things are the way they are.
Mm-hmm. Of course, this committee is going to consider confirmation. Representative Tilton is, of course, the chair of Community and Regional Affairs, and Representative Stutz is the chair of Fisheries, and, of course, all three, tourism, economic development, CNRA, and fisheries, all have to go through your, in any such way. My question is what, in your, when you're on the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission, what did you feel was important to get in a recommendation to the legislature about any of those departments within your agency that is critical to Arctic policy?
That's a good question, because I didn't realize at the time I was writing it that I'd be on this end of it. And so I went through the other day and looked at some of them that are going to be, and obviously, you know, it talks a lot about regional planning and trying to coordinate, you know, what's happening to help prepare communities for what could happen or what might not happen. For instance, with Shell and oil and gas, and I think you have to, I talked a lot about regional planning. I'm not sure up north how much of that has actually gone on. So I think it'd start with an assessment of what are the needs of the communities as opposed to what we think the needs of the communities are. You need to talk to the people that live there and that are on the front lines and the city administrators that are there and ask them what it is they need. I mean, we bring to the table a tool belt full of tools. What are the tools that need to be applied? What's happening? What's already happened? Because I'm sure there's been activity in this area, but I'm not sure what. And what should be brought to the table? But it all has to start inside the community, mm-hmm. from within the community.
Representative Stutz and Representative Tilt.
In relation to that, and listening to communities and particularly coastal communities, which is where I'm from and my district is, what are your feelings on maybe the coastal management plan I mean, that seemed to affect a lot of coastal communities and giving them the right to have some input.
Mm-hmm. And I've been on both sides of it. So we had the coastal management plan on Alaska, and I think it can be a great tool for getting input. There's also, I think it depends on the community as well. I mean, community can put together a public process that makes sure all the stakeholders are at the table. The CRSA was a way that kind of forced that to happen. So I'm not sure if is there a bill on the table to bring that back, or?
Not currently, I don't believe.
I would like to, if it does come back, to see what they're trying to build and what they're trying to accomplish. But we had one in on Alaska, and many of the plans that they started are still being used.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Chris, in the implementation plan that you helped write for the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission, many recommendations, and I've asked all members of the committee to look at it and see what recommendation that they would like to work on. And, of course, Representative Tilton has Community Regional Affairs, and one of the recommendations is that it's to the department and to DEC, but is anticipate, evaluate, and respond to risks from climate change related to land erosion and deterioration of community infrastructure and services, and support community efforts to adapt and relocate when necessary. Obviously, erosion is everywhere, but to that recommendation, do you feel comfortable that the department can take on that recommendation?
I feel comfortable that the department can work with the community on the development of a plan. Absolutely. I think the plan has to come, you know, from the community. What is it that you really want to accomplish, and try to help put together the various federal state agencies to the funding is the issue, I believe. How to put together the funding and probably phase a project like that. I believe, is it Newtalk is one of those communities that's looking at moving?
Newtalk, Kivalina,
yeah.
Others.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, any questions from committee members? I think they're getting full from the lunch. So the number of employees that you enjoy now in Dutch as city manager, what kind of workforce are you going to now, the number? And again, you've already talked about budget adjustments, but do you feel you're comfortable going from a relatively small group of people to a very large group of people as your employees?
Sure, I do.
And why do you believe that?
I have a pretty strong management background, and it's all about your direct reports. And I have 160 employees right now on Alaska, and I believe it's over 500 and some, 524, 575, thank you. So it'll take some time for me to get my arm around all the various departments and what they do, but I feel pretty comfortable. Yes, sir.
Yes. I'll finish up. Go ahead, Representative Ortiz.
Follow up on your earlier comments. You know, when you get into the job, you want to kind of look and see what's working, what's not working. And you commented a little bit about maybe one area that could work a little bit better. But can you elaborate, going into your department, what sense you have of what is working and what's not working so well in terms of that? Or is it just want to reserve that comment until you have more time?
Mr. Chair, through the chair, Representative Boris, I haven't been inside yet to see.
Yes, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Laddick, no Laddick. H, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Laddick, thanks. And I know you just recently were even informed about your. This is all new to you. What kind of economic development ideas have you thought about
through the chair, Representative Wool, as a city manager, city managers look at economic development quite often. The most recent thing we're working on right now is trying to get working with a Norwegian shipping company who's coming over the pole, taking fish to Korea, trying to get them lined up with seafood companies in Alaska to haul seafood back over the pole to markets in Europe. So over time, I mean, just working with seafood companies, trying to promote business, making sure your ordinances, that there aren't things in your ordinances that inhibit businesses from starting in your community. I mean, I've never had the job title, economic developer, but I feel like you get exposed to that a lot in city management.
Yes, Representative Stutz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Along those same lines, in relation to the Arctic and the opening up of the Arctic, there's going to be a lot of infrastructure that's going to be required up there. Where do you think would be a good spot, and what do you think would be a good area to start in relation to the infrastructure in that area of the state?
I was just, when I was sitting in the back row, I was reminiscing about the fact that was many years ago, Admiral Brooks and I and Arnie Fugleval gave a presentation in this room, the fisheries, about the need for the state to get engaged in the Arctic, because there were so many things going on, which a lot of people, I think, may have already been talking about that at the time, led to the Northern Waters Task Force. So this has been an important issue for me for a long time. I think that, you know, I'm aware of the Corps of Engineers study on a northern port, and I think, you know, with the cost of the infrastructure you're talking about, much of it is going to be market-driven, because when you start talking about a $250 million project and the feds don't have that money, can you bond the project? There's a lot of, at this time, there's a lot of financial barriers, but a lot of those things are going to need to get done. I hope that answers your question.
Follow up.
Please, go ahead.
A lot of what things?
A lot of what things? Ports being developed, emergency response plans being put into place in the event that a ship going over the pole becomes disabled, loses steerage, or something like that. So that would be the immediate goals.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So, Chris, this is just essentially part one of your confirmation hearing meet and greet. The committee will provide some questions that you can answer next time we meet after you start your job. And the example of the kind of questions that we'll give to the commissioner's office for you is, you know, Joe Joseph, the director of Division of Economic Development, gave us a really good presentation last week. And so we'll frame a question about how you can move the department forward. Another question will be framed is, do you think you're going to make some changes in the division directors? Of course, you're going to, I would assume you're going to serve on the ADA board and the energy board and, you know, Alaska Railroad. I think that we're going to frame around those kinds of questions. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's the report, Unmanned Aircraft Systems, and that economic strategy. So we'll ask you to comment on those. And whatever else the committee members come up with, we'll provide them in writing so that at least on those questions, you'll have time to research them and have your staff help you out. So
appreciate that.
Any other questions for our guest here, the future commissioner designee, or when he gets on the job?
I have one last
yes,
question.
Please go ahead.
Mr. Hyde, thank you, Chairman. Mr. Lattic, and I'm not really quite sure how I'm formulating the question, so I'm kind of doing it as I go, but you've worked in communities and manage different communities. So you've, and you said in a diverse area from ones that are along coastlines and ones that are not. And so you'd be moving in as the commissioner to overviewing several diverse diverse communities with diverse needs, and just wondering how you feel good about being able to balance the needs of the entire state from going from representing kind of one area to balancing the needs of all the different communities.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, through the chair to Representative Tilton, I think that I've thought about statewide and talked about statewide issues for, seems like forever, whether it's been with Representative Herron, Bryce, Edgman, mm-hmm. and how things get delivered statewide. And I think because of my experience in lobbying both here and in D.C., oftentimes you get involved in statewide issues, such as but not limited to the most recent one we've been attempting to do in Washington, D.C., is the OCS revenue sharing, Outer Continental Shelf revenue sharing, to ensure that other communities can get benefits from the royalties of the business activity on the North Slope. So our lobbyists, we worked with our lobbyists to write that legislation, and it's going to, if it could go through, will benefit many of the coastal communities that are impacted by that activity on the North Slope.
Thank you.
So, Commissioner, you know, obviously your 25 years, revenue sharing has been critical, your work on AML, Lascardi policy. What do you think the legislature should do when it comes to revenue sharing?
Which hat should I wear?
Your current one, I guess.
Well, from, you know, it's been a longstanding issue for municipalities to have revenue sharing, but I also understand and I think the municipal governments understand that we only have so much money and we have to cut somewhere. Obviously, they're going to want to try to maintain it as long as possible. But it's a huge issue to some of the smaller communities. I am very concerned about some of the smaller communities and what happens when they actually do go to close their doors, because municipal bankruptcy isn't really a good option. Are they going to throw their keys on the table and call the state and say, come in and run the utility? I think as a organization, DCRA, we need to work internally on what would we do when that happens, and they may have already worked on that. But I think that's important.
Yeah. Of course, in my new legislative district, I used to represent the Aleutians and the peninsula. Now I'm back to the communities around Bethel, 32 communities, Bethel being the largest by far, 7,000. Then the next largest is under 1,000, as the rest of them, all 31 are. Should there be I'm asking you to comment as the current city manager, but should there be a hold harmless provision in for revenue sharing? Because right now it's 57. Where it's unlikely that we'll refill the tin cup, and then it'll go down to 39, and then it goes down to into the teens if it's not refilled. Should there be a hold harmless for those tiny communities, the ones that get the minimum?
I think that should be talked about, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Okay. Any other questions? So any final remarks before we get to see you at your, when we do sign the confirmation report at the next meeting?
I look forward to the challenges ahead, and I think I've met my staff, and I believe they're a good staff, and folks that I look forward to working with.
Well, thank you, Mr. Laddick.
Thanks for your time.
That'll conclude our conversation today, and we'll continue. When do you anticipate being the first day on the job?
The middle of March, so 16th, 17th, something like that.
Okay, so the confirmation hearing will be after that.
Okay.
So, thank you. And we're adjourned at 12:30 sharp.